Psalm 9. We're going to look at four psalms today, Psalm 9, 10, 11, and 12. Two of them have to do with our heart in a positive way, a healthy heart, a healthy person's heart, and two of them have to do with a sick heart, a diseased heart. So the first one has to do with a healthy heart, Psalm 9. Verses 1 through 11, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. You heard of that in some of the songs that we did today. Very much so. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O Most High. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. We'll stop there for a second and talk about this healthy heart. Next chapter will be about a diseased heart, then a healthy heart, then a diseased heart. So we're going to interplay the two here in these four psalms. The healthy heart, we're told in Psalm 9, is a whole heart. In verse 1, the very first verse there, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. The symptom of a healthy heart is praise going unto God. So we're going to talk about symptoms and the reality or the situation that's causing that symptom. So praising the Lord comes from a whole heart, a healthy heart. And in this case, it comes from things in the past, bringing memory to those things, remembrance to these things, and then praise of the Lord. So the psalmist here breaks out, about four different things here that he's remembering that the Lord has done. We call these in the Christian vernacular Ebenezer stones. That comes from back in the Old Testament there regarding a story of remembrance, of setting a stone there to remember. Because you know you're going to be tested. You're going to go through times of doubt. You're going to go through dry times. And you need those stones of remembrance. You're like, yeah, God was with me at that time. And that energizes you in that dark moment and that feeling of dryness. So he's doing just this. The psalmist is going through these things of remembrance. The marvelous works as spoken there. So verse 1 encapsulates the whole thing. The symptom is praise coming out. The whole heart is healthy. It's a whole heart. It's a healthy heart. So wholeness in this sense is it's healthy. It's sound. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. So that's the praise that's going forth. That's the symptom of a healthy heart. And here are the things that he is praising about, these marvelous works. You were defending me, it says in verse 4 there. Verse 3 actually has one as well. The enemy being turned back, a reason to praise the Lord, remembering those times where the enemy was turned back. Verse 4, being defended, his position, his cause. So, Lord, I'm standing for you for this, for this cause, and the Lord standing with you in that. Verse 8, remembering that he is a righteous judge. Tom, I'm not sure where they are, if they're up at the Adirondacks this weekend. I know he's working with Dick Anthony on a project this past week. But he had his friend recently pass this week. He gave me a call about different verses to reflect his life, because he was thinking he was going to be part of the sharing there with him. Vic Sein from Weedsport, if any of you know him, passed recently. He was a Boy Scout leader for many, 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 many years, and a really good one. And Tom remembers working with him, going on camping trips, and that every time they were on a camping trip, it was a Sunday, just like Erica and Mindy this morning, their testimony. It was like, we're going to go to church. we're going to, I don't care if we're in Timbuktu, where we are, we're going to have church. We're going to sit together. We're going to get under the word of God and praise and worship him. So he was known for that. So praise God for his life. It's a reason to celebrate someone's life and to have joy. So Vic Stein, Tom was telling me about him, so I'm just relaying that as the first I've known him. It's just from relaying from Tom this information. And we went through different verses in the Bible talking about that, you know, to reflect upon his life. So that was a good thing. And it's a cool thing, and talking to Tom more about it, it's almost like a relief when you have a good leader, you know, somebody who's a good leader that you can trust in position. It's like, man, that person has been groomed for this. They're a good, honest leader, and you can rest. The person that is shifty, shaky, and flaky, you're like, you know, you're in a place of like, what's going to happen tomorrow? So it's great when you have great leadership, and ultimately our leadership is God. And that's what's being pointed out here, that he's a righteous judge. We can relax. We can be at peace, and we can be at relief that God is going to deal with things rightly and perfectly. He's not going to overdo it. He's not going to underdo it. So we're going to trust in him in that way. So that's another way to have a praising heart. He's remembering God as a righteous judge, thinking of him and, you know, his dealings with his life here. He's defended me. The enemy's turned back. And finally, in verse 8 through 9 there, he speaks of God in this way, remembering him as a refuge for the oppressed and the troubled. So a whole heart now, a healthy heart, the symptoms of it is remembering what God has done. That's good. Just the opposite would be remembering all the bad things and just dwelling on the bad things of the past. So God would have us have a healthy or a whole heart, remember the good things of the past, how God has showed himself strong to us, the good things about God, and rest in those areas. That's a healthy whole heart. So he transitions from there into a prayer, and we'll see that kind of pattern in the Psalms quite often, where it begins with some type of statements or statements of faith, and it goes into what seems to be like a prayer. So from verse 11 on there, sing praises to the Lord which dwell in Zion, declare among the people his doing. So now you're going into like a prayer, an exhortation, almost a preaching. When he makes inquisition for blood, he remembers them. He forgets not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble when I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I might show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughters of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net which they hid, and their own foot is taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higgion, Selah. That is a musical type of thing. This is probably David on the harp here, and he's building up to what I think they call a crescendo. He's kind of like building up to the peak of the song here, and that's in the rest of the 17 through 20 there. And this is, these four psalms mention hell, fire, and brimstone, so this could be a fire and brimstone-y sermon, but it's not really. It's just going to mention those things. The wicked shall be turned into hell. So his song here, keep in mind, we're reading a songbook, is building up, and this Higgion is like this strumming. It's like that song kind of builds up. I'm sure there's technical terms for that. It's like you could feel it building and it kind of explodes. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let not the heathen be judged in thy sight. Or let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men, mere men. Selah. Pause. Think about that. Dwell. Meditate on these things. So a healthy heart in Psalm 9, or a whole heart, is praising God. It's remembering the good things. Should you do that every day? Yeah, God wants you to do that all the time. This is the life of a healthy heart in a believer. We're remembering the things that God has done. But I already remembered that yesterday. That's okay today to do it again. Remember the good things that God has done. Keep doing it and cause that to move into praise of Him. That's a healthy heart. Psalm 10, let's contrast that to a sick heart. We're going to look at the symptoms. Those are the things that kind of appear externally. But underneath that, there's a diseased heart. There's a root cause. There's something diseased in the heart. So Psalm 10 begins with a question. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? So the psalmist already is showing you that he's got an issue in the heart going on. He's going to end this particular psalm just the opposite. Remember, this isn't one song flowing into another. So this could be days, weeks, or years in between these songs that are written that are inspired by the Holy Spirit in this person's life. It could be another chapter in their life, another event, another day, another situation. So it's a whole new thought here. So he asks the question, why are you afar off, Lord? And then look at verse 17 towards the end there. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. So there's always resolve with a believer. There's the working through it, though. We need to be patient with ourselves and with others in that process. Don't get uptight with people when they're in that situation of verse 1 when it says, Lord, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? And people are in that place. Be patient with people. Walk with them through these things if you need to, or encourage them to keep going and to keep the faith and the trust in God. And just be strong with them. Don't be Job's counselors. What did you do? That caused this feeling of him being far off. And scrutinize people in that way. But God hasn't called us to that. He's called us to strengthen each other, to help each other in these times. So be patient with other people when they're going through these type of times, because they need to get to verse 17. They need to believe and hear from the Lord. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride does persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. You can go back to Psalm 1, the imaginations. Remember that? The imaginations. It's that building up of, once you've based your foundation on lies, and that's your life, you build up just like these castles of lies, and they're imaginations, and you craft these things in your mind. Fear drives you into that. Pride brings fear. Fear brings pride. They work together. They're the ugly sisters in the scripture. Grace and peace are the beautiful sisters of the scripture. God would have us to get to know those two. The wicked in his pride does persecute the poor. Let him be taken in the devices that they have imagined. They've crafted it up. They've built these things, these lies. This house of cards. So the symptom here is taking advantage of others in verses 2 and 3. The wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesses the greedy whom the Lord abhors. So just the opposite. God is abhorring. God can't stand what's going on with this individual, but we're like, wow, we're praising that person. We're thinking they're awesome and that kind of thing. So that's a symptom. Taking advantage of others is another symptom, setting traps and devices for them. And the root cause of this diseased heart is pride. And it says the pride of his countenance is going to be continuing this thought in verse 4. The wicked through the pride of his countenance. A countenance is your appearance. So having that external appearance of pride and the things that we do for the outward show. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. So there's your symptom of a diseased heart, of a heart that is in darkness. So we can experience all of these things, not just the wicked, but you see the psalmist here, David, experiences himself in verse 1. Why are you far away from me, Lord God? So the wicked and the righteous can experience these different things that are going on here. We have the option immediately to get right with God through confessing and just stepping into the light. He's always that close. It's a turning. It's a repentant heart. It's just turning back to God for us. The wicked just continue in their ways. we struggle on as believers, but our struggle is to get back into the light. So the symptoms here are not seeking after God, God not being in the thoughts. That's the symptom of a heart that isn't right, isn't whole, isn't healthy. God is not in your thoughts. You're not seeking after God. You don't have the desire, like, God, what's your will? What's the next thing, God? And that kind of thing. And so you want to recognize the symptom and realize that it might be coming from pride. It might be coming from something of that nature, something in the heart that's not right. So we try to correct things by, well, I need to seek after God, and I need to have my thoughts toward God to correct the pride, when we need to have the pride crucified. The real issue is we need to bring death to the pride. Then the seeking of the Lord can come to life. Then resurrection happens. Then power comes into our life. A lot of times we're trying to treat the symptoms. We're trying to throw pills, aspirins at things, and treating the symptoms and to just relieve the pain. That's because that's the most obvious thing. We have pain. We have something going on. We recognize something as a symptom. But the root cause is what needs to be dealt with. And pride is could be the root cause. So it's like you can continue on your pride and still see, you know, and seek after God thinking that's the solution. And you know, I'm just going to think about God. But really, this pride in your life needs to be crucified. That's the real problem. You're just gonna have lots of trouble seeking after God and heaven in your thoughts if you're not dealing with the root cause, the unhealthy heart. His ways are always grievous. So moving on to verse 5 here. Your ways being grievous. It's just like, man, you're a burden on everybody. You know, your ways are grievous. It's just like it just sets a heaviness on people, the things that you're doing. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for his enemies, he puffeth at them. So God's judgments are just like, you know, I don't think they're real. This is the wicked heart. This is the diseased heart speaking. God's judgments aren't real. They're not real. So ways being grievous, this brings us back into the heart. What's going on in the heart is the things of men is what's happening in the heart. What's brooding in the heart is the things of men. And I want to parallel Matthew 16:23 to this. Before I even got to this particular verse, an interesting thought came to me, which has a lot to do with this, and I was sharing it with Gretchen. And it was like, what if we lived a dog's life? You know, we lived only 15 years, basically. You know, they're pretty old at 10, a dog is. They're kind of in their maturity anyway. And their adulthood is what, 2 years old? A dog's pretty 2.5 or so. So what if that was our lifespan? How would that change things? Interesting. I'll come back to that in a minute. Matthew 16:23. Peter was doing really good with Jesus. He recognized him as the Messiah. And then the Messiah started talking about what Messiah does, like going to the cross and subjecting himself to the Romans and all that. And Peter said, no, that's not how we're going to do Messiah. You know, that's not how it works. So, in fact, Peter was even rebuking him. Imagine that, rebuking the Lord. No, Lord, that's not how we do Messiah. 23 says, but he turned and said to Peter, Jesus doing this, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So it's the savoring, it's the inner desire, those inner desires, savoring things that are of men. Just turn back to Psalms, but don't go all the way back to where we are. Psalm 49, this has more to do with the dog's life. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. This comes into a psalm that's speaking about riches, and by all the riches and wealth of the world, they can't redeem their brother. You know, all the riches in the world can't purchase the soul of your brother. That's the blood of Christ that can do that. So that's what's precious. That's the thing, the commodity that we deal in. That's our bank account. It's in the blood of Christ. It's the riches of his grace. But this is the wicked heart here in verse 11. This brings me back to the dog's life. It's like, we live just long enough, you know, that our lifespan, be careful because my mom listens to this, goes, you know, up past 100 sometimes. Keep going, Ma. It goes 120 sometimes. The inward thought is that the houses, their houses shall continue forever. So we live just long enough where it's almost like we're just going to live forever down here. You know, so the things we do and the decisions we make, our bank accounts, all these things, and the houses we buy and all the stuff that we do, it's almost like it's shaped in this thought like we're going to be here forever when we're not. It's an illusion. It really is. So if we had that mentality of that we only lived a dog's life, you know, we were an adult at 2 years old, ready to get married at two. That's a pretty weird thought. 2.5 or whatever. Just let your mind go with that a little bit. Just that's a Selah. Think about that for a while. It kind of helps you with that issue of the heart where that things continue on forever here. And there's reminders that God gives us in our life. And one of my big reminders is when I come downstairs, down the steps to my basement, and I see my kids' pictures when they were in first grade. You know, it's like, man, everything keeps moving fast down here, you know. So there's different scriptures we can go to about that, of course. It's like the grass in the morning that dries up in the afternoon, all of that stuff, the puffs of smoke, all of these things that God would have us to keep in mind so we don't have the sick heart that is just thinking about, oh, all these things, all these worldly possessions, and I'm going to name my mountain after my name and all these things. It's nonsense. So that's a diseased heart. The symptom of that is thinking on those things, dwelling on the thoughts, savoring the things of men, as Jesus said to Peter. You savor. It's like having that taste for the things of men. So that makes your ways grievous, and it just kind of like brings a depression around everybody around when you savor the things of men. When that's all you're thinking about is your next, you know, your upgrade on your motorcycle or whatever it is. The next one I see here in Psalm 10, we can come back to Psalm 10. The next symptom we see of a diseased heart is a lying tongue, a tongue that is saying things that is of a cursing nature. It's lying, it's an unedifying tongue. And we see that in verse 7, mouth being full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity, sitting around lurking in places. Next verse says, and the real issue of here, of course, is in the heart. And what's happening in the heart is demonstrated for us in verse 11 there. He has said in his what? Verse 11. He has said in his. Everybody pay attention? Everybody a little tired today? He has said in his heart. So this is the disease that's actually in the heart. The external symptom is right where? The mouth, the things that are being said, the corruption coming out of the mouth. But the real issue is not, hey, mind your mouth. Be careful what you say, you know, all that stuff. What's the real issue is the diseased heart. What's going on in the heart is that he said in his heart that God has forgotten. God is no longer involved in my life. God's abandoned me. So this is not an atheist that said in his heart there is no God. This is one that says that God is not involved. Might as well be an atheist. He's aloof. He's busy. You know, he's working another plantation of people somewhere on another planet in another galaxy. He's doing something else. He's given up on me. So he has said in his heart, this isn't speaking of David or his own heart. In this case, it's the wicked one. It's the wicked heart. But he's identifying with that because he has the same kind of issue. He started this song with that question, that same kind of issue birthed it in his heart. Like, is God really involved in my life? Does God really care about me? So if he continues to dwell on that and go into that darkness, he's just going to go into a place of being grievous to people around him and speaking negative things all the time and bringing people down everywhere that he goes or she goes and speaking negative things all the time. Cursing, deceit, and fraud, then coming even more perversion out of it. So the cool thing is, now he goes into verse 12, is like the crescendo, you know, building up to the powerful part of the song. And there was one song that was very unique this morning. Anybody notice that? I can't tell anything else about it. I'll get in trouble. Arise, O Lord, O God. So he's going into that powerful place now. The drums kind of like boom, 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 boom. It's building up the powerful part of the song. He's going to come to that place of getting back to standing on firm foundation. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand. Forget not the humble. Wherefore does the wicked condemn God or contempt God? He has said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. God's not going to require any kind of justice or payment for this. But you have seen it in spite to requite it with thy hand. The poor commit himself to thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Praise God. We live in a country. We're not. You would think we're in some place in the Sudan, you know, or Ethiopia with all the fatherless in our country. There is no excuse for it. There is no excuse for it. But we need to recognize that as a church and be a helper to the fatherless. We need to step into the groove of God and be the instruments in him, because we live in a situation where there are many fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked. I mean, that's the majority, folks. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Now we're connecting 17 back to 1. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause their heart, thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless, the oppressed, and the man of the earth may no more oppress. So this is okay, believer. This is okay. This is a process. This is something that different chapters in your life, different events in your life, different moments in your life, that you're going to be in Psalm 10, verse 1. But God wants to bring you through a process. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with others. Allow the process to happen. Allow the Holy Spirit to work these things in you. It's not a sledgehammer. We don't beat each other into submission in the reality of who God is in your life. It's a process we go through and grow through. You come to this place of, Lord, you have heard and the desire of the humble. You have heard. You went from, Lord, why are you hiding, to you have heard. So that is coming to a place of faith that's growing in the grace of knowledge of God. So Psalm 11 comes back to that healthy heart. We've got time, a little more time for that?
Sure.
Hopefully we'll do these two little psalms here, Psalm 11 and 12, today. A healthy heart in Psalm 11. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? Asking that question, coming to another day, a chapter, event of life, you know, something happens, things will happen in your life. We think that something happens, we come across something like a major event, we think that that's going to be it. This is it, you know, there's not going to, you know, no, that's just one of the things in your life. So it's very normal to go through things in your life. And you'll have these questions. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? So he's already starting in a place of faith. So this is a whole heart. We're back to that healthy heart here. In the Lord I put my trust. So back to Psalm 9 here. A healthy whole heart was one that was praising God. And Psalm 11 is showing a healthy whole heart is one that is trusting God. And as Terry spoke this morning, and Asher did, sharing from Zacchaeus, that Zacchaeus had an issue of being too short. You know, hey, that's an issue. I can testify to that. That causes problems in your life. And a lot of times when you're around tall pastors, you feel very short. I don't know why, you know, all these pastors are so tall. I don't get it. And where did you get your education? Man. In thee, Lord, I put my trust. How say you to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. How did I even go there, Lord? So he's starting in a healthy heart place, you know. Obviously, he was coming from something. How, you know, why did I run? Why did I even think of running away from this situation? you know, I was devising things in my own strength, and you know, I stopped trusting God, but it's in you I trust, Lord. So that is not an easy place to come to. Let me tell you something. It's easy for me to speak it up here, but to live it is a whole nother experience. So I will be extremely honest with you. This is something that is a tremendous thing to live out. It's a tremendous thing to be able to live out. You will feel everything in your body going like this, just freaking out. And it's like, why are you feeling this way? Body, you need to get in line and trust in God. And you're going through these, you're going through these things. It's like, I will trust in you, Lord. And you've got to work through something, and it might take all night. It might take all night. It might be one of those nights where you're tossing and turning. But you will come to that place. God will deliver you. He will make a way of escape. He'll bring you into that place of rest. In the Lord put I my trust. How say you, Lord, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string. These are why we want to run. That they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord tries the righteous, but the wicked and him that loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone. I promise you, hell, fire, and brimstone. There, hell was in Psalm 9. There's the fire and brimstone. You ever wonder where that comes from? There's one of the places. A horrible tempest. In verse 6, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, a horrible tempest. That's just like a whole storm moving with all this stuff. This shall be the portion of their cup, for the righteous Lord loves the righteousness. His countenance does behold the upright. So foundations. Our foundation is trusting in Jesus Christ. Our faith in Jesus Christ is our foundation. So foundations here, what if you take that foundation away? What are you going to stand on? So do you see the significance of trusting in the Lord? That's why I trusted the Lord 20 years ago when I received the Lord and did an altar call thing. No, that's the foundation that you live your whole life on, is trusting the Lord. When that foundation is gone, you're in trouble immediately. You've got an unhealthy heart. You're in trouble. Okay, so real simple teachings today, but very important. Definitely feel and experience these all the time, doesn't matter what age you are. But getting back to standing on that rock is important. So let's take a look at that in Matthew 7, about standing on the rock. And perhaps if you got a red letter Bible, this is the most readest section, at least it's up there high. I mean, just from chapter 5, 6, then on to 7. It's all Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount, speaking these truths to us. Then, of course, he comes to this place in verses 21, 4 there. It says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house. It fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not is likened to a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. One of the most famous teachings of Jesus is the foundation. And we know our foundation is not in works. It's in the work that he did. Our foundation is trusting in the work that he did. All the fruit of that in our life comes out in the teachings that he had preceding here about blessed are the peacemakers, you are the salt of the earth, forgive our debts as we forgive those, love your enemies. If I say to you, turn your cheek, all of these things come out of a life that is trusting in the work, the finished work of Jesus Christ. All right, let's finish in Psalm 12 today. Back to the unhealthy heart. The Psalms are getting shorter. That's a good indication that, hey, you wake up with a issue of the heart and that you get it corrected as soon as possible. Help, Lord. That's a great prayer. And sometimes that's all we can think. And I can't think of anything other than to call out, Lord, help. For the godly man cease. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. This is a man with a diseased heart or a woman with a diseased heart. There's something going on in the heart. The faithful fail. Everybody, the churches are all messed up. Everybody's messed up in church. Where are the believers? And for the godly man ceases. Is there anybody? Is there anybody that's following Jesus? When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? You see where it's going here? It's the idea that somebody is distraught and distressed. They've got an issue of the heart going on. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, with a double heart do they speak. And that's a disease right there, is the double heart. The symptom is flattering lips, speaking vanity, it's empty things to people, not really edifying people. It might sound flowery, it might sound positive, but it's not really building them. It's called flattery, and it comes from a double heart, a diseased heart. Who have said with our tongue, will we prevail, our lips, our own? Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now I will arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffs at him. The word of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Edifying people is going to come through this purified word that God has blessed us with. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever, speaking of his word. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Praise God. We're here last night. We were talking about some things. 2 Thessalonians. We'll finish with that thought. All the T books are together. Thank God for doing that. They're even in order of the T's there. Timothy, Thessalonians, Titus. So this would be 2 Thessalonians. I believe it was chapter 3 there. Try to find where it was last night. It was in 1 Thessalonians. It was a long day yesterday, I could tell. When I struggle up here, I did too much on a Saturday. Praise God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. So this is a good place to take that diseased heart. It's come from maybe one from like, man, nobody's following the Lord, and it's kind of come into a place of this dishonesty with yourself, this double heart that's happening. And we need to come to a place that the Lord is faithful. And that is what is significant, and not have our eyes on men. Hear this again. I'm going to just pray this over us today as a body, including myself. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Let's pray for each other that the word of the Lord may have free course. That's the teaching of the word, the preaching of the word will continue on here. It will continue on in this community, under tents, under buildings, out on the sidewalk, up on the soccer field, different places, that the word of the Lord will have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not the faith. We need to realize that's a reality out there. Not be discouraged, not become apostate. This is what can happen to you. You get burned enough, you become apostate, you withdraw from assembling because, well, nobody's believing. Everybody's weird. Everybody's this, everybody's that. And then you get a hard heart, you get a double heart. your heart begins to divide and you got this insincerity going on inside of you. This is just a reality. Hey, let's just accept it and understand that's what it's going to be like and not apostate and not get our shorts in a knot, so to speak. And realize that the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have this confidence in the Lord touching you that you both do and will do the things which we command you, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Here's where the real healing is, and here's where we stop today. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for bringing us into a healthy heart, Lord God. Thank you for teaching us, Lord, not to try to fix the symptoms, Lord God, but to go after the cause, to get the heart healed, Lord Jesus Christ, to see pride crucified, to see the things of wickedness crucified, Lord God, put to death so that new life can be raised out, so fruitfulness can be raised out from there, Lord Jesus. We pray over this little gathering today, Lord God, that you would have your will and way with these people, Lord Jesus Christ, this week. Awesome things would be happening coming from their lips. Awesome things would be happening in a praise coming out of their mouth. Thank you, Father God. Amen. Hallelujah. Is that ice bag? I look like an ice bag from her. So Gretchen's friend, Kim, gave a prophecy that I didn't want to hear, and that was to put up the tent. And she told her about a month ago, you know, God wants you to put up the tent. And when she hears from the Lord, she hears from the Lord. And a month went by, and Gretchen went back to her. You know, different things happened. And did you put up the tent? No. The Lord said to put up the tent, you know. And so she brings that back to me, and I'm like, I don't want to. Even if God said from heaven, put up the tent, I don't have any motivation. I don't feel like putting up this crazy tent. I just don't want to do it. We have a building here. We can gather, and there's plenty of seats, obviously, here, and that kind of thing. So it just doesn't make any sense, God. And so when I can't make sense work, then my motivation doesn't happen quite often, you know. When it makes sense in my head, then sometimes my motivation follows. But with faith, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't, like, faith isn't like, it's going to make sense, and now your motivation, it doesn't come through understanding. The peace doesn't come through understanding. It surpasses it. So faith doesn't work that way. So in the craziness of all of that, I put up the tent. Gretchen and I did yesterday. We got the tent up, and that's why I'm a little bit tired today. But along the way of starting to do it, I was like, Lord, I have no motivation. I don't care. I really don't care about anything. I feel like Jonah to the maximum. Even if you shout at me from heaven, I still feel like this is the, you know, because I'm trying to make sense of it. It doesn't make sense to me to put up a stupid tent, you know. But the word of the Lord came, you know. And then once I started being obedient, then the motivation started happening. Then I had strength to do it, and I was actually praising God. I still don't know why. I still, my logic still says this is stupid. It really is. It's the dumbest thing in the world to put a tent. It's the dumbest thing under the sun, but not above. You know, when God says stuff, his ways are higher than ours. So we got to really be obedient when we know it's the Lord speaking. And one of the ways that he confirmed it was she said there's going to be, she brought up the wind thing again. I didn't. She did. And it's like, oh, no, not the wind thing again. You know, that was the first time I thought I was done with that. And so she brings it up, and she said, from the east, just the opposite of how our weather normally flows. So I said, okay, that's probably a phenomenon if that happens. And so as I was seeking, as I was just in that place of being totally Jonah, saying, I don't want to do it. In fact, I'm going to go out and do something else in the garden. And I get out there, and the wind's going whoosh, from the east. And I said, no, I was being bad. Because I really didn't want this to be true. I really didn't feel like putting this tent up again. And, you know, it wasn't physical. I like doing physical things. It was just like, it seems pointless. You know, so I couldn't make that mental ascent. And So yesterday it was like, it's got to go up now. It's got to go up now. So I was real busy in the morning doing that. The Gretchen helped out. The tractor helped out, using ropes and getting it over, pulling it up. And this morning was just the most amazing, powerful storm coming from the east. All the trees bent over like this, opposite from what they normally do, steady. And I'm like, that tent is going to, I didn't really secure it. I didn't have time. I had to babysit because of the wedding. And so it's just got a few little it's got a few of the bungees, like half of them that's supposed to be on, and none of the ropes are on or anything. I don't have any strength, Lord. So the first thing I did is, like, you know, my emotions started going, and I started get adrenaline going, like, I got to go get ropes over that. I mean, the wind's really going up there. And I was like, God, that's not trusting God. You know, if he really is in this, it's going to blow away or it's going to stay there. And I said, Lord, you've given us the right and the privilege to be able to pray for angels to set over that thing. And sure enough, it's just, it's like sucked in. You can see the ribs of the tent. It's shaping the Star of David. It's 6 points, 60 degrees. I don't know where my mind goes. But that's cool. God is good. And his ways are higher than ours. So I just want to share that little thing. Amen.